I'm Pastor Ron. So good to be with you this morning. We are just coming off our advanced series where we were really focusing on our vision, our mission, and our purpose. And I am so excited to be able to kick off our question series where we are going to take the next 6 weeks and answer the questions you see there on the screen. I did a Facebook survey and so appreciate my friends on Facebook who helped us form and shape some of these questions, and really looking forward to diving into it. But before that, I have a few testimonies too. I want to show, our values, as we talked about, and our vision over the last month is our missions to make disciples. We exist to make disciples. And so I want to show you Power Hour during the week. We talked about places we want to focus on, one of them being the corporations and the marketplace. That's our youth. There's our Power Hour. So making disciples, midweek, lunchtime, those are business people. And so isn't that exciting there? And there we're going through the one-to-one app, okay? So that lesson on Thursday was on lordship, what it means to know Jesus as your Lord, to really obey him and walk with him. And so appreciate Titus Sports Academy. We're in the war room right there, the war room, it's called, of Titus Sports Academy. The other one, the other picture is our youth group. And so look at that. Isn't that exciting? 5:30, we do it on Sunday nights at Titus Sports Academy. And so we combine some games, some activities, and then we feed them. And then Pastor Ben does a lesson with them, usually about a 20-minute lesson. And last week, as you see, he's holding up his phone, and he's saying, be plugged into God. That's the most important thing, is there's so many things trying to get into our minds and our brains today, but how to stay plugged into a good relationship with Jesus. So again, God is doing great things in us and through us. I want to thank you all. As Pastor Ben said, it takes everyone playing their part to reach people for Christ, to fulfill our mission of making disciples, and our vision to see this city transformed as people obey Jesus as their Lord. We want to make big impact into our city, and so you play a big part of that. All right, question series, here we go. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of kicking off this series. Lord, open up our hearts and minds to what it is that you want to speak to us. And Lord, just guide and lead my words this morning, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did God really say is what I'm kicking off this morning. Did God really say, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, what was happening in that question was that Satan was questioning God's goodness. I'll get there in a second. You know, questions are good things. I love questions. The older I get, the more gray my hair becomes, the more I'm learning to love listening instead of talking. I'm reminding myself, God gave us what? How many ears? Two ears, one mouth. So, right, the principle is we should listen twice as much as we talk. And as we were preparing for this series, I began to go through the Bible and look at all the times there's questions in the Bible. And questions in the Bible are some of the most incredible questions we should be asking ourselves every day in regards to how we're focusing our life, how we're stewarding what it is that God has given to us. Jesus asked the question, what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul, is one example. Think how much we live stressed out about trying to accumulate things in the world. And Jesus said, why do that and forfeit your soul? Questions over and over and over in the Bible. Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? Asked Peter that question. And so I have learned to love questions. And sometimes I feel like the question, if you really meditate upon it, sometimes tells us more, as crazy as this may sound, than the answers do. Because the questions are trying to get to something in our heart. They're trying to touch the very reality of our motives and our meaning and what it is that we're living for. And so I love questions. I love music, as you know that also. All kinds of music. And the famous rock and roll band, Hall of Fame band, Moody Blues, has a song named Questions. And if we all get honest with ourselves, we're asking questions every day. And Christianity, the Bible, Jesus, it's the one religion that's not afraid for you to ask questions. Question God. Question those kind of things. It's okay to do that. Everybody's got questions. And what I've learned is I hate when there's an environment where we assume answers or we come to our own conclusions instead of just dialoguing and talking and asking questions. I've learned in marriage, to have a good marriage, we got to ask questions. Hey, honey, how are you doing? Okay? Might not get the answer I need at that question. I've learned to ask this question. How am I doing? Oh, amen. Then truth comes out to the third question. Well, how are we doing now? Okay, so don't just assume, but ask questions. Moody Blues asked this question. Why do we never get an answer when we're knocking on the door with 1,000,000,000 questions about hate and death and war? Why do we never get an answer when we're knocking on the door? Well, during this series, we're going to try to provide answers to questions. What I'm super excited about in this series more than anything else is, where is Dr. Dew? Dr. Rebecca Dew. Stand up, Dr. Dew, real quick. Our PhD in the house. She, in a couple weeks, is going to be doing the question. All right, I wasn't smart enough. None of us are qualified for this. We're not smart enough, so we had to delegate. Why do bad things happen to good people? All right, she's going to be doing that question, so I'm super excited about that. You know, if you are reading a book and you're a logical person, where do you start? What page? Page one. We're going to start on the first book and the first pages in the Bible and start looking at something that's very important. But before this, I want to show a picture. I want to show a picture of Ben Farrow at Titus Sports Academy. We have a program called Champions in the City, where we go into all the high schools, or I should say from kindergarten to eighth grade, fighting childhood obesity with high-level fitness programs. Well, we do assessments before we do that. We go in, weigh them, do their body mass, do all kinds of different assessments. So we're putting together the assessment equipment right there. That took about 5 hours, all right? What we had to do is we've got about probably 30 to 35 bags that we're putting together. We have to put scales in them. So you have to make sure the scales are calibrated, right? So Ben's got a 100-pound dumbbell that he's carrying and putting on each scale to make sure this. When you put the 100-pound dumbbell on the scale, it should say what? It should say 100. Now, during that time, I'm praying profusely, because if it doesn't say 100 on a scale, guess what that means for us? More work. It's about 11:30 at night right there, okay? 11:30 at night. We've been at it for about 4 hours. So if the scale's not working, we got to try to figure it out. Guess what I know about calibrating a scale? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So Ben's looking at me going, if this doesn't say 100, we got to calibrate the scales. And I'm like looking around going, is he talking to me? Like, what are you talking about? And so guess what we had to do? About 4 scales did not have the correct measurement of 100. Guess what we had to do? We had to calibrate the scales. We don't know how to do that, so guess what we had to do? What? What do we have to do, Chris Collins? Well, yeah, of course, you could. Sometimes I forget you could still Google. But yes, we got, even better than that, we got the instruction manual to the scale. And we had to read it to calibrate it. We went back to the manual. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to take us to page one of the manual that God has given us, the Bible, on how it is that we're to live our life. Why we're here, who we are, and what it is that we're supposed to do with our lives. His original intent for us, his divine design for us. And what I'm hoping is if you find yourself, like on that scale, kind of a little out of adjustment, that you'll recalibrate yourself to get aligned to God's will in this season, this series. Questions that you should be asking yourself to make sure you're living according to God's purpose. We'll start here in Genesis 1, verse 10. I want you to see a theme throughout these scriptures in the first book of the Bible. Isn't it interesting when so many people today kind of wonder if there is a God, and then out of that, why are we here? Who are we? Doesn't it make sense if you're doing an instruction manual and if we're created beings that if you had a book explaining who we are, on the first pages of it, it would be talking about creation, right? I mean, of all the topics that could be on the first pages of a book about God and us, doesn't it make sense that it would be creation? When you open the Bible, the first thing you realize about in the beginning was God. He is a creator. He's a creator. He made us. The key to life is knowing where we came from so that you then can know where you are to then know where you're going. And so as we look at Genesis 1:10, God called the dry ground land, and he gathered the waters, and he called them seas. And God saw that it was what? Good. Next scripture. Genesis 1, 16 through 18, he also made the stars. He set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was what? Good. Next scripture. So God created the great creatures of the sea. Notice he made the oceans before he made the creatures, right? That's significant. It's important. Don't make fish without water, right? That's not going to work too well, okay? God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was what? Good. All right, next scripture. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. All right, next scripture. Now, in regards to creating man and woman, God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, on every living creature that moves on the ground. God's making creation. He's saying, declaring that it is good. We see that it is good. Then he makes man and woman, and he does what out of his goodness? Does he curse them? No, he does what? Blesses them with a command to be fruitful and multiply. Sounds like fun to me. All right? Genesis 1:31, next scripture. God saw all that he had made, and it was what? Very good. Not just good, but very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Next scripture. And the Lord said, first time something wasn't good, it is not good for man to be alone. And all the women said, amen. You know, I think about man being alone on earth without women and just the smell. The smell alone makes me stop thinking about that very quick, very quick. Could you imagine, like, how out of order things would be? How much help women bring? Thank God for women. God saw that, man, it's not good for man to be alone. And what did he do? Out of his goodness, out of his kindness, out of his desire to bless, he made a woman. Powerful. All right? Let's see. Next scripture here. That was it. Okay, that's good. So from there, I want us to kind of get a picture as we read chapter 1, as we work through chapter 1 there in the Bible. Okay? We see there's a creator. We see that he's creating creation. We see that it's good. He's making us. He's given us this incredible environment. I mean, I want to show some pictures. This is just some pictures recently of just friends on Instagram. Sometimes I wonder if people have jobs. Do you ever wonder that? I comment on them and I go, like, I need to trade jobs with you. Like, are you ever, like, home or working or what do you do? All right, This is a picture of a friend that was in Greece. Beautiful, huh? Next picture. This is Rhode Island. Beautiful, huh? Don't you wish you were there right now? instead of listening to me. Next one, that's Hawaii. I think that's where Jurassic Park was filmed, okay? Right there. And then the next one, and that's Hawaii too. Isn't that beautiful? All right, refocus. All right, get out of vacation dream mode. Refocus back on me. Think about it, all right? I showed those pictures for a reason. God is creating this perfect vacation, garden, beautiful environment with man and woman naked, together, be fruitful, multiply, having fun. And your job is you get to take care of really cool animals and steward the garden and the earth that, by the way, because sin and the curse hasn't come yet, there's no thorns and thistles and hardness and all of that. You get to enjoy everything I created for you in this perfect vacation, beautiful environment. And really, all I want you to do is steward this well and have lots of kids and have fun doing it. Doesn't it sound like the life we strive for? Doesn't it sound like the life that we're always living, trying to build up to, and then we get too old to live it? Huh? Yeah. Welcome to America, right? Yeah. We're always striving to get to this perfect way of living, and then we go, oh, God, time's passed. I missed it. That was God's original design for us. All right? Now, the backstory is that in heaven, God, there was an angel called Satan. He led worship. He was an archangel. He was one of the most beautiful created beings of all time. In his heart, he got prideful and he said, I wanted to be God. He led a rebellion against God. And so when you understand this battle on earth that we live in, do you ever feel like something else is going on in your life that is making things very difficult? That something's working against you? That sometimes you have an enemy, or why are things so tough? Because you do. It's called Satan and his demonic forces, and they live to kill, steal, and destroy. There's something else going on. The Matrix is real. There's a whole other world out there that's going on that we must be aware of. And in God's intent, he knew, as the creator of everything and the all-knowing one, he knew that Satan was going to rebel one day. And he had a plan to make us, and through us, and through the dominion mandate of being fruitful and multiplying, fulfilling the earth with godly offsprings, he would destroy the plan of the devil. So the devil hates what you and I have because God gave us what he wanted. God gave us his image. We look like God, and we're supposed to act like God. Okay, we reflect the glory of God as his highest, glorious creation, human beings. Image in his likeness. We're to look like him and we're to act like him. He gave us what Satan wanted. And with that, the incredible stewardship to procreate. Yeah. So guess what? Satan hates us. Why? Why does he want to steal from us? Because we have what he wants. The image and likeness of God. So we see this beautiful setting in here in Genesis 3. What happens? The serpent, Satan, comes in the form of a serpent. He was more crafty than any of the other wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, what? First question in the Bible. First question in the Bible asked by Satan. Did God really say? God created everything for us to enjoy, but he said, you must not eat from the tree in the garden. What was Satan doing in that moment? He was trying to get them to question God's goodness. Do you know that battle still goes on every day in our lives? Through his influence, through the things of the world. Just turn on the news and watch it for an hour. You'll question God's goodness. Why are all these things happening in the world? live life long enough, interact with people long enough, you get disappointed, you start questioning God's goodness. The enemy, I believe, every day comes to us and tries to get us to question God's goodness. And we'll talk about why that's so important in a moment. God's plan was simply for us to enjoy everything he created. But he gave us one command not to do, not to eat from the tree in the garden. Let's finish the conversation. The woman said to the serpent, you may eat from all the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some, she ate it. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. They realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This great relationship with God, this sense of this incredible purity and how they looked at one another and loved one another, so much so they didn't even realize they were naked. And all of a sudden, they sinned against God, disobeyed, took the bait of Satan in deception, and all of a sudden, everything changed. They saw one another differently. They looked at one another differently. They were shameful. They were running from God. They were separated. They made coverings for themselves. And that's how we live today, constantly trying to cover up our shame, our guilt, our hiddenness. You know how we do it today? We don't make fig leaves. We do it in the form of religion, our religious routines, to try to get back right or feel better about ourselves. And it all comes from a questioning of God's goodness. I love what 1 John 2:15-17 says. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but what? From the world, right? So you realize that if you don't trust God, right, it'll be impossible to love him. Goes on to say, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of the Father or God lives forever. So if we don't trust God, it's impossible for us to love him. There's no way we can love him. And as you look at these two passages of scripture in Genesis, and then as John was trying to explain, I love the book of 1 John because it explains what it means to be in real relationship with God. It means to know Jesus. This is how you know that you know him. That in this world, you're just like him. And it talks about the difference of being filled with God's Spirit and how that manifests in your life, and then the spirit of the Antichrist and how that manifests. And it talks about God's love and that we're children of God and what that looks like when it's a reality. It's an incredible book. And as we compare the two of the love of the world versus the love of God the Father, we see parallels in these two passages of scriptures. Let's look what they are quickly here. What are they? The first one is that when Satan came to question God's goodness, he said, look at this. It's good for food. What was that? Appealing to the lust of the flesh, right? The second one was what? That it was pleasing to the eye. The fruit was pleasing to the eye. You know, Satan doesn't come tempt us with bad things. What I've learned is usually when God is ready to do his best in my life, Satan will bring what is good for me, not what is bad. But they saw, hey, good for food, lust of the flesh, pleasing to the eyes, lust of the eyes, desirable for gaining wisdom, the pride of life, right? We see the parallel there. We see all of a sudden something began to shift. That the scripture teaches us, true love for God is obedience to what it is he tells us to do. That's how we know we love him. It's obedience. As soon as they disobeyed his command, all of a sudden they begin to shift their affection and their love towards something else. I love this piece of fruit more than I love God. Anytime we love anything more than God, it becomes an idol in our life. Our next series after this is Idols Among Us. How if you begin to really question and examine your life, we'll see that so many hardships that come upon us is because we have love and affections for something else besides God, first and foremost. Amen. And it began right here when Satan asked the question, did God really say? A piece of fruit became an idol, became the source of affection and love that caused disobedience to God's command. Why did God have to give a command like that? Well, because love must possess with it the ability to make a choice. We're not robots. God did not create us to be robots. He created us as human beings in his image and likeness to be in relationship with him. But you can't have a relationship with someone if you do not have the ability to choose. Love can't be forced, coerced, controlled, or manipulated. It cannot. That is abuse, not love. So in God's grand design for the relationship to be real, he had to say, I've got to give you a choice. To every day, you have the power within yourself to choose to love. To choose to love. And so our choices are so important. And as we see from that, the big idea that I want you to take home this morning is that bad things happen when we question God's goodness. Anytime we begin to question God's goodness, bad things happen. Do you know that life will give you hundreds and hundreds of opportunities to question God's goodness? I remember when Cindy and I, gosh, it was back probably almost 19 years ago, right, Cindy? Peter's. It was 17 years ago. We had just, you know, been a couple years into pastoring, and we were going through a lot as a movement in transition. The person who had married us had basically, you know, we found out that he was cheating on his wife, and our whole athletic ministry was disbanding, and we were just going through a lot personally. Just had taken over the church. You know, learning to carry the weight of that responsibility. And we needed a vacation. It was our first vacation in 2 years. You with me? You ever been somewhere, a point of life where you're like, I need a vacation? You ever been there? Like, I'm there right now. You're going, I'm there right now. I need a vacation. We needed a vacation. We get on vacation. We had planned it with my parents. We had a real nice place. My dad used to be in the hotel business, so He hooked us up with a really nice place. We were there. We just got settled in our first day. We went to sleep that night, and we woke up to my mom tapping us on the shoulder. And she goes, the boys are all right. Everything's... She goes, Peter got killed in a car wreck. Her youngest brother, Peter. So we went on our second day of vacation from trying to get in vacation mode to driving to Orlando to console her parents, and next thing I know, I'm facilitating her youngest brother's memorial service. Do you know that in moments like that, you can question God's goodness? Question God's goodness. We saw through that tragedy that the amazing thing about God, and we see this in the resurrection of Jesus, is he's the only one who can bring life out of death. We saw her father really make a commitment to Christ during that time. We saw God do amazing things during that tragedy. Still hurts to this day. You know, what happens when we question the goodness of God? What happens? There's things that happen. Number one is we don't draw close to God. We don't draw close to him. Lamentations 3:22 through 26. This was in a time when the Babylonians had taken over Jerusalem, and the people were in despair because their city had been ravaged and ruined. And it was a time of mourning and crying and weeping. And look at the words that comes out as they chose to remember God's goodness. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Look, they have just been destroyed, but they're declaring, great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him. In him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. Man, when that moment of questioning God's goodness comes, I've learned to press in more to God, to seek his goodness and to declare it. What else happens? We lose our perfect model of goodness. You know that no one is good but God alone? There's no truer statement. And where society begins to really go in a downfall is when it begins to trust in human goodness. It's called big government. You with me? And it's the epitome of the power of man trying to make its own solutions for itself. And it's chaos, division, and strife. And I love this about, and, you know, and again, when you don't understand the biblical worldview that we're not good, we're sinful by nature. That's why we need Jesus to become the sacrifice for us, put our faith in him to change our lives so he changes our nature so that it's good. If you believe in the goodness of people, you have never had children. You've never had children. You know, as parent, loving parents, we don't sit there and go, like, let us teach you how to fight. Let us teach you how to be selfish. Let us teach you how to disobey. Like, you know, let us teach. No, it's like work, work, share, get along. I mean, Ethan and Noah, man, they just went at it yesterday. We're moving, right? That'll test your salvation, right? We're moving out of storage, some storage stuff, right? It's like, I'm like, how long will this last? How long will peace last? By the end of the day, man, it's just brawls in the front yard. I just said, I'm too tired to even deal with it. Thank God everyone's teeth still in place. I mean, it's like raising kids, man. It's like, oh, it was like finally, like, I don't have to say no every second of the day. Remember when you get to that point, like about five, you know, it's like, I'm finally saying yes. You know, I mean, you just see the nature so clear. And it's deceptive, right? Because they're so precious and cute. But tyrants underneath. I love this about God. I love this. It says that the goodness of God is one of the attributes of God, as well as the description of his very essence. It's who he is. God by nature is inherently good. As Psalm 34:8 tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. You know, when you taste something, it gets in you, right? I had a mochi this week for the first time, Whole Foods. I was calling it an emochi. I was saying, I had an emochi. They're like, what's an emochi? A mochi. You bite into that thing, and it's like, it's here. As soon as it touches your lips, it's just in you. I became a mochi. Chocolate. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The very essence, when you taste him, he's good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. He is the foundation of goodness and everything good. He did not obtain it from another source. That's powerful. Psalm 119, verse 68 says, you are good and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees, David said. So what does this mean? It means that God's goodness is displayed in two attributes. Number one is character. And number two, his actions. You know someone's character by how they act and what they do. The very nature of God is good, so he can only do what in his actions? Good. Now, do we believe that? Thank you for being honest. The rest of y'all need to repent. Right? He can only do good. He can only do good. At 50, I've had to learn this the hard way. My senior year at FSU, my last home game was against North Carolina. I had dreamed all my life, my favorite coach growing up was Jim Valvano. If you've ever seen the Survive and Advance on ESPN, when they won the national championship, upsetting one of the greatest teams of all time, the Houston Cougars, the Phi Slamma Jamma. My heart was captured by their coach, Jim Valvano, and how he inspired his team to greatness. I always wanted to play for him. Senior night, Dick Vitale and Jim Valvano are doing the game. We're playing North Carolina at home for second place. I was the only senior on the team, and we had a tradition, senior starts on senior night. I'd been shooting the ball very well. North Carolina played a 1-3-1 trap, and I'm like, this is it. This is my moment. I'm going out in glory. I'd been serving God for about a year, and I was like, the whole stage God has set for this moment, for me. Because I'm going to make a lot of three-pointers in this game, and I'm going to give you the glory. I've got Jesus written on my shoes, and I'm going to testify with my mouth that you are the reason I made all these three-pointers tonight. I was ready, right? 5 minutes to go in the practice before that night, I step on Sam Cassell's ankle and break my ankle. So for senior night, I'm the only senior, right? Packed North Carolina, people cheering. Ron Miller, senior. I come out under the table, crutching out. Crowd went, ah! That was senior night. Watch the team celebrate as we beat them. I'm sitting on the bench, couldn't get there because I'm on crutches. Moments like that, you question God's goodness. But something happened in my heart in that moment, and as I realized, and it was a defining moment in my life, that God was setting me apart to preach the gospel. That basketball or nothing else would define me or be my idol, that I am setting you apart, son, for my purposes. It was solidified in my heart in that moment. God turned it for good. You know, when we don't trust in the goodness of God, what do? Number three here, we trust our ways over God's ways. I mean, that's the real issue. You're either doing it your God's way or your way. That's it. You're either trusting in God or you're trusting in yourself. I love Proverbs 3, right? 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will direct your paths. Psalm 118:8, the very center of the Bible, guarded by the shortest chapter in the Bible and the longest chapter in the Bible. Shortest one, Psalm 117, longest 119, Psalm 119. The very center, the very heart of Scripture says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. If you don't trust in the goodness of God, if you question it, you're trusting in yourself. And maybe you've got a great life compared to world standards, but you know what? It's sinking sand and the day of judgment, because it wasn't built for the glory of God. Number four, we miss the good in every situation. We miss the good in every situation. See, as I said, because God's character is good, right? Because the very essence of who he is goodness. He can never do bad things. And I love Apostle Paul, how he tapped into that as he was missional and spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. And as he would talk about being persecuted and beaten and imprisoned and all the hardships he went through, he would stop and he would go, wait, and I know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. All things, imprisonments, beatings. That's why at the end of his life, Philippians, one of his last letters, as he was in jail, knowing he was getting ready to be killed, he had this perspective. He goes, man, don't feel sorry for me. Rejoice in these chains because they're advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want that perspective in life. I don't want to grumble. I don't want to complain. I want to say, God, whatever I'm going through, you're working it for my good because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. Powerful. I love this quote here. You know, God has never stopped being good. We've just what? We've stopped being grateful. I love what Psalm 138, 136, excuse me, 1 through 3 says. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, right? His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His what? His love endures forever. How does God reveal his goodness? He's revealing it all the time. But before that, I got another story for you. While back when Cindy and I were doing campus ministry, we got very close to a gentleman named Chris Ricks, who was our quarterback. It just so happened that God built that relationship with us. We would come to find out that Chris's mom died when he was 7 years old, and he grew up with his father, who is a very abusive alcoholic. And that his dad would follow him wherever he would go around, and then he moved to Tallahassee, and his MO was to call him on the phone every night, drunk, late, and tell him what an awful son he was, with lots of cuss words. He did that to about 4 o'clock in the morning one night. It just happened to be the night before exams, final exams. So Chris got off the phone about 4 o'clock, trying to regather himself. This was the daily routine. You with me? The daily and nightly routine. Had exam at 8 o'clock in the morning. Goes, man, I'm just going to stay up, study, power through it, and go to class. Guess what happened? About 7 o'clock, he fell asleep. Missed his exam. At Florida State, there's a Deion Sanders rule, because Deion was skipping exams his senior year and letting the world know about it. You know, I'm prime time. I'm getting paid. You know, I'm not going to class. Florida State made the Deion Sanders rule. You don't take your final exams, you don't get to play in the bowl game. Missed his exam. Couldn't play in the bowl game. He shows up at our house that night about 9:30, and he looked like he'd been, like an old Western movie, drugged behind the horse for about 3 days. Cried with him, wept with him, prayed for him. He left our house. I looked at my wife. We had no room in our house. We had storage boxes in our dining room after like 2 years living there. I said, if we don't move him in, he's not going to make it. She looked at me and she did something crazy, as she's done from the first moment she said, I do. She said, okay. She said, yes. We moved him into our house to help him learn how to deal with his alcoholic father and embrace the gift of leadership on his life and walk with God. Let me tell you today, He's been married faithfully for about 12, 13, 14, 15 years, 3 beautiful kids. He directs FCA in California. He's leading more people to Jesus than anyone I know. Come on. Come on. It'd been from his junior year to a senior year, it'd been a process. If you remember that time, if you're a Florida State football fan, it was crazy. Quarterbacks going in and out. It's crazy. He had a great summer going up to his senior year. Kurt Herbstreit had picked him to win the Heisman. The head of Sports Illustrated called me at my house. Said, this is the greatest story I've heard in a long time. I did a 2-hour interview with him. He goes, if we play in Miami, like the game last night, to kick off the football season, Florida State at Miami, he goes, you all win this game, this is my cover story. I'm putting you all on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Watching TV, Herbstreit, Chris Ricks going to win the Heisman this year. He's doing great. Once again, I'm like, God has set the table. These 2 years have been worth it. We're going to glorify his name tonight. We were so confident, me and Pastor John Rohr, who you know, who had helped a lot with prophetic ministry with Chris over those 2 years. He flew into Tallahassee. We bought plane tickets to the Miami game down in Miami. We were so confident that God was going to give us the victory. We were so confident. People say, you know, when you go down to Miami, it's kind of in a crazy area. Just make sure you don't let them know you're Seminole fans. I said, forget that. I wore this shirt. And I got one for John Rohr. Seminole strength. I was confident. We got out of our rented car. We pulled up, you know, far away from the stadium. I got out of that car. We both had similar strength, and we were walking. And all we heard, man, it's going to be a long walk back. It's going to be a long walk back. We were like, Seminole strength is here. Got to the game. Long story short, Chris had 5 turnovers. Overtime turnover. They go. We end up losing 7-0. I'm walking back going, it's a long walk back. Long walk back to the car. Got John. We drove over to the hotel that night, and him, Chris, and I are sitting in a huddle just like this. Moments like that, you question God's goodness. But to see who he is today, I praise God that God works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, life will give you so many opportunities to question God's goodness. How does God reveal his goodness to us? Natural blessings to every single person. Even if you hate God, guess what? He still gives you rain. He still gives you rain. He still blesses you. He still allows your heart to beat. God's so different than us, and that he's so good. The scripture says he gives rain to the just and the unjust. That's how good God is. Kind interventions. God moves kindly on people's lives. I love the parable of the worker in the vineyard. How the guy goes out and hires people to work in his vineyard. He hires one person early in the day, says, I'm going to pay you a denarius. And then he hires a person later in the day and pays him the same wage, and they all agreed upon it. Then at the end of the day, they all came collecting for their work. And the ones who had started the earlier day assumed that they were going to make more instead of their agreed amount, and they were jealous about the generosity that, hey, this guy only worked an hour and I'm giving him the same amount. It's a parable on testing our heart and God's generosity and to do everything without grumbling and complaining. And in the parable, the owner goes, it's my money, isn't it? I can do what I want with it. You're the one needing a job. We agreed upon this amount. I didn't do you anything wrong. If I want to be generous to this person, what's wrong with that? Can't I be generous? And we tend to question God's goodness when we see other people get something instead of appreciating that and valuing who God is. The greatest act of generosity was found in his son, Jesus Christ. God giving Jesus to us. I love this scripture where it says that God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And arguably the most recognized scripture known in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Did God really say, first question in the Bible, what was Satan doing? Questioning God's goodness. Bad things happen when we question God's goodness. Do you know that every day you have a chance to question God's goodness? But you also have a chance to celebrate his goodness, to love him, to draw close to him, to worship him. You know, I think as my son, oldest son Josiah, is starting college, and you know, my other boys, as they're in high school or eighth grade in high school now and growing up, I think about this all the time. How proud and excited and fulfilled would my dad have been to see his grandsons? And my dad died 7 years ago. I got more gray hairs than my dad had when he died, going through cancer treatment for 3 years. You know, I felt like he had so much life still in him and so much to give. And one of my first memorial services in this church was my father's. And as I drove home, you know, that's a moment you can question God's goodness. Why did he die? Why did he die? I long every day when I'm experiencing things with my family to go, I wish Pops could experience this with us because I knew it meant so much to him. Then I have to stop and think and go, nope, he's with Jesus. It's good. Jesus needed a good hearts game or spades game in heaven. My dad was a great card player. And I have to trust that. I have to trust that. How do we respond to God's goodness? Always, number one, by repenting. Repent just means a simple, you're going in the wrong direction, you turn and you change. You're going away from God. Remember Adam and Eve, they went away from God. You turn to him, you repent. It's a U-turn. It's like you turn down the wrong one-way street and you go, uh-oh, I got to turn back to the Lord. It starts with repentance. Do you know that you can't have faith unless you first repent? See, repent positions you to God to then by faith receive all that he has for you. You can't just believe. You have to repent and believe. It's a heart condition. That's why John the Baptist came before Jesus. He prepared the people's hearts to receive the ministry of the Lord. It was a baptism in water of repentance. I'm repenting to now receive what Jesus has for me. It's an act of humility so that you can receive God's grace. Out of that, then you're able to rest in the refuge of the Lord, in his goodness. No matter what's happening in your life, you rest in the goodness of the Lord. I love how Psalm 31:19 says, how abundant are the good things that you have stored up for us, for those who fear you. For you bestow in the sight of all, for those who take refuge in you. And then the last one is simply this. It goes back to the beginning. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God? What did they do? Did they run to him or run away from him? They ran away. You reach out to the Lord. Reach out to him. I love what the scripture says. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Corey, you can start playing. You know, I quoted Moody Blues' song to start the sermon, their song Questions. In it, they say this, I'm looking for someone to change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life. They're asking these questions about the world's conditions, and then in the song, the heart cries out, I'm looking for someone to change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life. That miracle is Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is all about. See, you can't appreciate the goodness of God till you understand the bad news. The bad news is we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Starting with me, the biggest one. And that sin separates us from God. See, gospel, the good news is that God offers sinful people eternal life. It's an acronym for God offers sinful people eternal life. And that we've all sinned, and the wages of sin, according to God, is death and eternal damnation in hell. Every wrong will be made right one day. Our sin does what? It separates us from God. What can you do to change your status as a sinner? You can do nothing. So that's why Jesus had to come and be a sacrifice for you. It's redemption. He had to pay the price of the wages of sin and death for you with his own body and his sacrificing of his blood. The Old Testament, all the sacrifices Jesus, that God was teaching the people in the sacrificial system, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus, when he stepped on the scene, John said, behold the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, in his amazing love, steps in and becomes our substitution. He takes our place. He does for us what we could never do on ourselves, that we can have his salvation. The gospel is simply this, to conclude. It is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he's the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your truth, Lord, as we kick off this question series with the first question asked in the Bible, did God really say? It was a question by Satan questioning your goodness. And as we pray this morning, I want to just give you an opportunity. If you know you're not in right relationship with God, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Just you saying, I want to get in right relationship with God. I want to repent. I want to turn. Just raise your hand to the Lord. Just say, I want to getting right with God. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else this morning? Just want to be included in this prayer. Turning to the Lord. To get my life right with Him. I'm going to trust in Him this morning. God bless you. Second group I want to pray for is if you've had moments where you've doubted God's goodness and you just want that to change in your heart. Say, you know, I want to get back to a place to where I'm living in the goodness of God. I'm living in out of that obedience to what it is He's called me to be and to do. Would you just stand? Just stand. Just stand. Say, I'm not going to doubt God's goodness. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, Nancy. So good to have y'all here. Nancy, y'all are one of my heroes in the faith. I want you to know that. I love y'all so much. So good to have you all here. One of the most powerful moments of my life was when I went to your son's memorial service. And I went there to encourage you all, but you encouraged me by how you hugged us and loved us and stood firm. Pastor Brian, you did an amazing job that service. It was one of the most powerful moments. God's got good things for your family. The death of your son. Satan's not going to have the final say in that. He is not. You all are city leaders. And we remember His name with honor and glory. And we honor you all for who you are. Thank you. Goodness of God draws us close to Him. Draws us close to Him. Why don't we stand up together and just sing this? If you raised your hand, would you come? Can I pray for you? Would you come down this morning? Would you come down? She's given her life to Jesus this morning. Amen. Would you pray with her? Would you pray with her? Worship team, would you come up? We're just going to end by singing the goodness. You're so good to me. Can we do that? If you need prayer, prayer team, would you come on up? If you stood and need prayer for something this morning, let's pray together and agree. So great to have you here this morning. Next week, Pastor Ben's going to be doing the second question in the Bible, where are you? When we don't trust in God's goodness, we get lost, and God has to ask us, where are we? Where are we? So come on back. It's going to be awesome. If you need prayer, come on forward. We'll finish with the song, and you're free to go. God bless you.
Good. He's so good to me. Sing it out, say, God is so good. God is so good. So good. God. say.